We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for yet another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Dick Powell starring in Richard Diamond, Detective. But first, on the lighter side, let's let George do it. Let George Do It was a West Coast detective mystery program first heard on Mutual Don Lee in 1946. Bob Bailey, who would go on to Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, played Private Eye George Valentine. In the early shows, George's brawn was underplayed and his skill at solving scientifically all matter of murder and mayhem was brought to the fore. He was assisted by a rather dumb office boy named Sonny, played by Eddie Firestone Jr., and a secretary girl Friday named Claire Brooks, played by Francis Robinson. Joe Kearns was Caleb the Elevator Man. Owen Vinson produced and Polly Hopkins wrote the scripts. In all, it was a quite respectable show for a canned West Coast program, but George was just another detective with a gutsy style and a nose for trouble. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear and Let George Do It with The Harding Bookshop Mystery from November of 1946. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Your neighborhood Chevron gas station invites you to Let George Do It. George Valentine would be the last person in the world to take a job that was not exciting, even with a large salary attached. That's why he opened his office and advertised to solve any problem for a fee, of course. Well, he's had his excitement all right, sometimes more excitement than he bargained for. Right now, George, his secretary, Claire, and Sonny are driving along in his car.
Mr. Valentine, why so much mystery? Where are we going?
Just playing hooky from the office. Oh, Mr. Valentine.
We can't afford to play hooky, Mr. Valentine. You know that.
Have you two ever heard of the Harding Bookshop?
Not I.
Never. Why? Should we have?
Well, that's where we're going.
To buy a book?
Of course not, Sonny. Mr. Valentine has a book.
Here, bright girl, take a look at this newspaper clipping.
What does it say, sis?
William Harding, eccentric owner of the Harding Bookshop, died in his sleep last night. He leaves his widow Harriet and a nephew Frank. Mr. Harding had been in poor health.
Okay, that's enough.
Well, what about it? Man dies in his sleep, where do we come in?
Well, his widow phoned. She wants me to meet her at the bookshop at 11. She made it sound urgent.
Jeepers, I wonder why she wants to see you.
An eccentric book dealer dies in his sleep. His widow is very anxious to see me. Kids, I don't know what it's all about, but it has all the ingredients for some real excitement.
Oh, it's no use, Mr. Valentine. The bookshop's closed.
Maybe Mrs. Harding hasn't arrived yet.
Wait a minute. I think I hear someone in there.
I'm sorry, but we're not open for business. The shop is closed.
Oh, Mrs. Harding, I'm Mr. Valentine, and these are my assistants.
Oh, of course. I've been expecting you. Come in.
Supper. Cats, look at the place.
Books scattered all over.
Yeah. Somebody been searching for something, Mrs. Harding?
You can see why I called you. Someone broke in here last night.
Did you phone the police?
No, I didn't.
No? Why not?
Because I think it was an inside job. The windows were securely locked. They don't look as though they'd been tampered with. Someone unlocked the door and walked right in.
I see. You suspect someone in your family. That's why you didn't phone the police.
Mr. Valentine, I won't try to keep anything from you. I suspect my husband's nephew, Frank.
Did he have keys to the shop?
As far as I know, my husband and I had the only keys.
But you must have some reason for suspecting Frank.
Well, he's always been a wild boy. I never had any use for him. My husband was fond of him. He even had Frank helping here in the shop.
Mrs. Harding, just what was this person looking for, do you know?
Money.
Money?
I'm not sure, of course, but I think my husband had some money hidden away here.
Uh-huh.
You may have heard my husband was... Well, he was odd. It would be like him to hide the money in his shop.
Then he mentioned some money to you?
He always said that we'd be well taken care of in our old age, and yet he died penniless.
I see. And just what do you want me to do?
If there's any money here, I want you to find it. I'll pay you, of course.
Oh, of course. But the shop's already been searched. Maybe the money's been found.
I don't think so. You see, I frightened the person away.
Oh, then you saw someone.
I just caught a glimpse of someone running away. It was dark, but I think it was a man.
Mm-hmm. Why did you come down here last night, Mrs. Harding?
I wanted to look around myself.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. All right, Mrs. Harding, I'll keep in touch with you. Come on, kids.
I'll be waiting to hear from you.
Let's go, kids.
What do you make of it, Mr. Valentine?
Say, quite a girl, isn't she? Her husband dies, and that same night she's down at his shop looking for any money he may have hidden.
Well, why don't we stay here and search the shop?
Because someone beat us to it, Sonny. Besides, I want to know a little more about this case. And a little more about Harding's death, too.
Mr. Valentine, do you think he was murdered?
I'm just guessing. Come on, let's go to the car.
Hey, wait a minute. I want a word with you.
Jeepers, I wonder who that is.
Must be the nephew.
I just want to warn you not to believe half of what my aunt tells you. She's not herself. She's hysterical.
Oh. Well, I don't agree with you, Frank. Your aunt seems unusually calm, considering.
Calm? She called you in, didn't she? She knew what she was doing. Why would she call in a private investigator?
How did you know I'd been called in?
Well, you were, weren't you? Suppose she told you there's some money hidden over there. It's a lot of baloney.
Is it?
You're just wasting your time. They said some money disappeared after my father died, too, but we never found any. There's always that kind of talk when some eccentric dies.
Just when did your father die?
5 years ago.
Uh-huh. Frank, were you with your uncle when he passed away?
No. It was during the day. I was in the shop with my aunt. Miss Barry phoned us.
Miss Barry?
Alice Barry, the nurse. My uncle's known her since he was a child. Of course, she's a young woman now. Very attractive, too.
Okay, Frank. See you again sometime.
No, you won't. I'm going to tell Aunt Harriet to call you off.
Yeah, do that.
Do you think she'll listen to him, Mr. Valentine?
No, she doesn't trust him. Claire, I want you to get all the information you can on Harding's death and meet me here.
Here?
Yeah, in front of the bookshop about 10 o'clock tonight in Sunny.
Yes, sir.
Get down to the Evening Express. Talk to Ben Steele. He's a friend of mine. He'll let you look through the old newspaper files.
But what am I going to be looking for?
Well, Frank's father died 5 years ago. Get what you can on it.
Okay, Mr. Valentine. Hey. What are you going to be doing?
Oh, he's going to talk to the nurse, of course.
Why, Claire, how did you guess?
Oh, she's young and attractive. Naturally, you'd want to investigate that yourself, Mr. Valentine.
Mr. Harding had been ill for years. There was nothing mysterious about his death. But don't take my word for it. Talk to Dr. Mark.
Oh, I'd rather talk to you, Miss Berry.
And I know Mr. Harding didn't leave any money. You're wrong about that, too. If you don't mind my saying so.
Miss Berry, when a woman is beautiful, she can toss my theories into the ash can, and I don't open my mouth.
I'll find that out after I get to know you better.
Oh? You're going to know me better?
Of course.
What makes you think Harding didn't leave any money?
Because he couldn't even afford to pay me a salary. He gave me this box of old phonograph records instead.
I see. Miss Berry.
Alice.
Alice?
Alice.
Alice, did Harding die in his sleep?
Oh, yes.
Then he didn't say anything before he died?
Well, he mumbled something.
Mumbled something? What, could you tell?
I suppose he thought he was a little boy again, listening to Mother Goose.
Why, what did he say?
Mary had a lamb.
Mary had a lamb? Are you sure?
Well, the words Mary and lamb were plain enough.
Uh-huh. Look, here's my card. If you think of anything else, give me a buzz, will you?
I'll give you a buzz.
Oh, good. Say, how does that verse go? Do you remember?
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
You're late.
I was detained.
By the nurse?
No, never mind.
What are we going to do, Mr. Valentine?
Well, we're going to get inside this bookshop.
Hey, Mr. Valentine, where did you get those keys?
They've opened lots of doors. See? Never fail.
I'll try to find the light switch.
Now, don't bother. I'll use my flashlight. Sonny.
Yeah, Mr. Valentine?
Stand near the window, will you? Let me know if you see anyone.
Okay. Mr. Valentine, the books are all back in place.
Well, Mrs. Harding must be a neat housekeeper. Come on, Claire. Now, we're looking for the section that has books for children.
Then the nurse did give you a clue. Was she helpful?
Oh, yes. And beautiful.
Really? Tell me about her.
Well, I haven't time. Couldn't do it justice. Here we are now. Let's see. Peter Rabbit, Alice in Wonderland. Hey, look for Mother Goose.
Is she a blonde?
Yes. Treasure Island.
A natural blonde?
Oh, Claire, will you concentrate on Mother Goose?
Oh. Is this what you're looking for?
Yeah, good, good. Now find Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Why?
Oh, Claire.
Oh, all right. Little Jack Horner, little Miss Muffet. Mary had a... Oh, here it is.
Good, good. Now read it.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere that Mary went, lamb was sure to go. Do you want all the verses?
Well, isn't there anything written on that page?
No.
Well, maybe there's some more Mother Goose books.
These are all there seem to be.
Okay, hang on to it.
Put your hands up.
Oh, Mr. Valentine, suffering cats.
Now, what are you doing here, Frank? Where did you come from?
I was in back. I've been waiting for someone to show up.
Why? What made you think someone would show up?
Well, the place was ransacked last night.
And you thought it might happen again tonight, huh?
You can't tell. And Harriet says she frightened the person away. He might come back.
Uh-huh. That may be why you're here. Or then again, you might be looking for the money yourself.
I told you there isn't any money.
Okay, Frank. Now put that gun away. You might hurt somebody.
And get out of here, all of you.
All right, we're going. Coming with us?
I'm going to stay here and keep an eye on things.
Say, that's a very good idea, Frank. Just keep an eye on things. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Mr. Valentine, it's a little late to be reading Mother Goose.
Well, look, here's what we've got so far, kids. Harding's brother, who's supposed to have money, dies, but he doesn't leave anything. On the other hand, Harding, who's supposed to be poor, tells his wife they'll be provided for in their old age.
Oh, I see. You think he had his brother's money.
And he hid it in his bookshop.
That's what Mrs. Harding thinks. And so does Frank.
Well, go on.
Well, this Mother Goose rhyme should lead us to the money.
Why?
Because Harding tried to tell Alice about it before he died.
Alice?
The nurse.
Oh, first name.
Oh, definitely.
Hey, who'd be phoning at this hour?
Hey, get her, will you, Claire?
Hello? Is Mr. Valentine there?
Yes, who's calling?
Alice Barry.
Oh, just a minute. You're a nurse. And she's not a natural blonde. I can tell by her voice.
Oh. Have it your way. Hello, Alice.
Mr. Valentine, maybe I can help you after all.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, you remember that Mr. Harding left me a box of records?
Yes.
Well, I was looking through the box of phonograph records when suddenly I... Oh!
Hello. Hello, Alice.
Mr. Valentine, what's the matter?
Something's happened to her. I'll get over there quick.
Well, George was about to get some important information. The nurse, Alice Barry, phoned him, but before she could explain, something happened to her. Now, it's a few minutes later, George is opening the door to her apartment.
Alice! Alice! Oh, are you poor kid. Oh. Here. Let's get you up on that couch.
Oh.
Now, take it easy. You're going to be all right.
Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Wait a minute. I'll put you down here. There you are. Now, you better lie still for a few minutes. I'll get you a drink of water.
No, no, please don't leave me.
Don't be frightened. Hey, you've got a nasty-looking bruise on your forehead. Otherwise, you seem to be okay. How do you feel?
Oh, like I've got two heads.
Yeah, I'll bet. Want to tell me what happened?
Well, there isn't anything to tell. I was talking to you on the phone, and then it happened. Somebody took a sock at me.
Well, who was it? Don't you know?
No, he must have crept up and hit me from behind.
From behind?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't see him at all, huh?
No, for all I know, it might have been a woman.
Yeah, it might very well have been a woman. What about the records?
No, I guess they're gone. They were on that table over there.
That's bad luck.
Oh, don't worry about them. It was just an old bunch of records. Believe me, if all those endearing young charms, who is Sylvia, and a few more like that.
But I thought you discovered something about them.
I guess the person who stole them thought so, too. No, Mr. Valentine, that's not why I phoned you.
Feel like telling me about it?
Of course. You see, while I was looking through the records, I got to thinking about Mr. Harding and what he'd said just before he died.
Yes?
I could almost see the whole thing all over again. He was moaning and tossing around in the bed. I ran to him and felt his pulse.
Go on.
I told you that he said Mary had a lamb. But now as I think back, Mr. Valentine, I'm almost certain he said Mary Hayden Lamb. Mary Hayden Lamb.
Mary Hayden Lamb. A woman's name?
That's right. Do you think it means anything?
Well, it must mean something. Yeah. It'll probably lead us right to the money. That is, if there is any money. Now look, I gotta beat it. But I want you to lock the door behind me, understand?
Don't worry. After this, I'll always lock my door.
Good. Better put some ice in that forehead. It's turning a beautiful purple.
I'll be all right. Mr. Valentine.
Yeah?
If it does mean anything, will you let me in on it? I feel as though I have a stake in this now.
Oh, I don't blame you. Okay, Alice. I'll keep in touch with you. Hey, open up. Hey, Mr. Ward. Mr. Ward, hey, open up.
Wait a minute. You out of your mind? What are you doing here at this hour?
I want to buy a book.
Well, go away, we're closed. Come back in the morning.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't close the door, Mr. Ward. I gotta have something to read tonight.
You realize it's after 11?
I know, I'm terribly sorry, but let me in, will you?
Oh, all right. Come in. Other people have sane customers, but I suppose it's got to be a mystery with at least 6 murders in it.
Mr. Ward, did you ever hear of a book called Mary Hayden Lamb?
Never, no.
Are you sure? I came here because you have a reputation for knowing every book that's ever been published.
There's never been a book published by that name. Now, however, if you were to ask if there were ever a novelist by that name, I'd give you a different answer.
A novelist? Hey, of course. Why didn't I think of that? Well, tell me about her. Yeah.
Well, she was a local writer, and to my knowledge, she wrote but one book, thank heaven.
Why do you say that?
Because it's by far the worst trash it's ever been my bad luck to read.
I see. What's it called?
Isle of Love. It's about a girl and an island and a man, and if you want something to put you to sleep, I'll personally guarantee you your money back.
Then you've got a copy, huh?
One. Almost sold it this afternoon.
Almost sold it? Is that so? Someone wanted it, huh?
Well, ask me about it anyway. But evidently I had the good taste to turn it down. I found it on the counter when I was putting my books away.
Well, who asked to see the book, Mr. Ward? Do you remember?
Certainly not. I do a big business, young man, and I can't keep track of every customer who walks into my shop. Unless they make a special impression by getting me out of bed at this unearthly hour.
Okay. Anyway, you've made a sale. I'll take Isle of Love.
No, you've made a bad choice. Yeah, here you are. Marked down to 89 cents. And young man, believe me, I'm cheating you.
Hey, Claire, Sonny, come on, wake up.
Oh, hello, Mr. Valentine.
May we go home now, slave driver?
Oh, I'm sorry, kids. I know it's late, but we can't stop now. Don't dare take the chance. Somebody may be getting desperate.
What do you mean?
What do you expect to happen?
Well, nothing if I can beat him to it. Now, Claire, I've got a job for you. How are you in the charm department?
Charm?
Yeah, that's right. Have you got any? Don't answer that.
Whom do I have to charm?
Frank.
The nephew? I quit.
Hey, I knew he was suspicious. As soon as I saw him, I said to myself, now there's a
guy... Shut up, will you, Sonny? Claire, I want you to get Frank out of the bookshop tonight.
So that you can get in there without his seeing.
That's the idea. Think you can do it?
Oh, it should be simple, even if my hair isn't blonde. Oh, don't worry, Mr. Valentine. I'll take care of Frank.
Who is it?
Oh, put that gun down, Frank. It's Claire.
Oh. You're Mr. Valentine's assistant, aren't you? What do you want?
Well, Mr. Valentine's just down the street at your aunt's house.
What do you want?
Well, I was with them, but then they wanted to talk alone, so... Well, they sort of left me stranded. Don't I look stranded?
Yeah.
Well, your aunt was giving Mr. Valentine an earful. She's not very fond of you, is she?
You can't forget that I was once a wild kid. I have straightened out since then.
Oh, I can see that.
What do you want?
I want to come in. Use the phone to call a cab.
Why didn't you stop at a drugstore?
Oh, well, all right, if it's the way you feel about it. Good night.
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Pretty late for you to be wandering around.
Oh, I knew you had fine instincts, Frank.
Oh, all right. Come on, I'll take you in my car. Okay, Sonny, come on.
The coast clear?
Yeah, they just drove away in Frank's car. Now, don't turn on the light.
Excuse me for asking, Mr. Valentine, but just what are we looking for?
We are looking for a book.
More Mother Goose?
No, The Isle of Love. There ought to be a copy just like this one somewhere in here.
But why do you want two copies?
Don't you understand, Sonny? I've got to have Mr. Harding's copy of this book.
Oh, no, I don't understand.
Never mind. Just start looking.
Yeah, but Mr. Valentine, there's at least 1,000 books in the shop.
Let's see now. Mary Hayden Lamb was a local writer. Now, why would Harding choose her book unless... Hey, wait a minute. I think I got it, Sonny. He must have known her.
Well, what of it?
That means it would be Harding's personal book, see?
Oh. No, I don't see.
Come on. There's a little room in back of the store. Remember? That's where Frank was hiding the last time we were here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, come on.
It's dark.
Careful now. Here we are. I'll look around with my flashlight. Let's see.
Hey, there's a desk, Mr. Valentine.
Any books on it?
Sure.
Read the titles.
Webster's Dictionary, The Complete Shakespeare, Cooking for Fun, and
The Isle of Love. That's it. Grab it, Sonny, and let's get out of here.
Okay, Mr. Valentine.
We'll take it back to the office.
Hey, aren't we ever going to get to sleep tonight?
We haven't time. Now, let's get to the car. Sonny, duck.
Jesus, what was that?
Somebody took a shot at
us. Mr. Valentine.
It's all right, Sonny, you missed.
Yeah, but let's get out of here quick. I don't think that person likes us. And then somebody started shooting at us. Oh, it was plenty exciting, sis.
You're lucky. Frank's a bore. This conversation is brilliant. It's either yes or yeah.
I guess it was Mrs. Harding shooting at us on Mr. Valentine, because Frank was with Claire.
Not for long.
No?
No, he just took me to a cab stand.
I see. Run out of charm?
Oh.
Jeepers, Mr. Valentine, you've just about taken that book apart.
Well, there's nothing in here. No secret compartment, no writing on the pages. I can't find a thing.
Well, then let's go home and get some sleep.
No, we can't stop now. Okay, kids, make yourselves comfortable.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll have to start reading the book.
Aloud?
Certainly. I might miss something.
You're
going to
read all of it?
That's right. Here we go. The summer sun was setting in a blaze of glory, casting its light like a shimmering ribbon of golden orange across the lake. On the bank, her wavy hair streaming from her uplifted head, stood Jennifer.
Oh, I can tell. This is going to be a classic.
Perhaps her dream of love was to become a reality, for coming toward her was a canoe, and in the canoe was a man.
Mr. Valentine, you think Sonny's old enough?
I'll keep quiet, will you? Jennifer sighed longingly. Sonny, perhaps her stay on the island was at an end. Her face was alive with expectancy. Weeks had gone by. Jennifer knew that this was her man.
What choice did she have on a desert island?
In spite of his aloofness, in spite of his air of mystery, Jennifer knew that she loved him. And then a wonderful thing. He knelt beside her and kissed her.
Well, it's about time.
Oh, she said, then you do love me.
Naive creature, isn't she?
Yes, he answered. I love you with all my heart. If you don't believe me, look carefully when the grandfather's clock strikes the hour of midnight. And I love you too, she told
him. Wait a minute. What was that again?
And I love you too, she told
him. No. Go back to where he loves it.
Oh, yes, he answered. I love you with all my heart. If you don't believe me, look carefully when the grandfather's clock strikes the hour of midnight.
Hey, that doesn't make sense.
Hey, wait a minute. The printing on this page looks a little different. Yeah, so does the paper. Claire, get my copy of the book.
Here it is.
Okay, turn to page 82. Come on. Okay, now read that part.
Yes, he answered. I love you with all my heart. I swear it, Jennifer.
That's enough. This is it, kids. Mr. Harding printed this page himself. Look carefully when the grandfather's clock strikes the hour of midnight.
Mr. Valentine, there's a grandfather's clock in the bookshop.
That's right, Sonny. And there's where that money must be hidden. Claire, get Mrs. Harding on the phone. Tell her to meet us at the bookshop right away.
At this hour?
And then phone Frank at the shop. Tell him to expect it.
All right.
Oh, and Claire, phone Miss Berry, will you? She wanted to be in on the kill.
Oh, now you've got me phoning your blonde for you. Well, whatever you say, Mr. Valentine.
What are you waiting for, Mr. Valentine? Why don't you give me my money?
You mean my money, Aunt Harriet.
Now, don't fight over the money. We don't even know if there is any.
Then why did you call us here?
And why bring Alice into this?
Well, if there is any money, you'll have to thank Alice. She gave me the clue.
Then it really was a clue, Mr. Valentine.
That's right, Alice. It led me to a book. And in the book, I found some words that Mr. Harding printed. It said, look carefully when the grandfather's clock strikes the hour of midnight.
The grandfather's clock? I'm going to see about that.
Now, take it easy, Frank.
Now, Frank, that's not your property. Get away from that clock.
There's nothing in here.
The clue didn't say there was something in the clock. It said, look carefully when the grandfather's clock strikes the hour of midnight.
Well, it's striking 12 now.
Well, what's different about the clock when it strikes 12 than at any other time?
When it strikes 12, both hands point up.
What girl, Claire. Sonny, hand me that chair.
Okay.
You think there's something on top of the clock?
No, above it. On the wall here. Yeah, see? There's a false panel.
Need any help?
Oh, thanks, Frank. I think I could do it with the heel of my hand. That does it.
What is it?
Is there something in there?
Yes, a package.
What's in it?
A minute, I'll see. Well, well, well. Bill, large denominations and lots of them.
Let me have that.
Now, don't rush me. Hey, there's a note here, too.
What does it say?
Mrs. Harding, is this your husband's handwriting?
No. No, it isn't.
That's my father's handwriting. His money is mine.
Not so fast, Frank.
Well, what does the note say?
It says, dear Brother Bill, I'm leaving this money in your care. Frank is too wild to be trusted with it. When he settles down, you can give it to him.
Then give it to him.
Wait a minute, there's more. There's a condition I attach to this. Frank must provide for you and your wife as long as either of you shall live.
Is that all?
That's it, Mrs. Harding.
Then it is Frank's money. Give it to him. He doesn't have to provide for me.
No, this money is for both of us, Aunt Harriet.
Well, that's more than I deserve, Frank.
You can stop talking right now and hand that money over. Give it to me, Mr. Valentine, and hurry up about it.
I never argue with a beautiful woman, especially when she has a gun in her hand.
Mr. Valentine, was she the one who was after the money all along?
That's right. When she phoned me and got bumped on the head, I thought it was funny I didn't hear the blow over the telephone. And if she was hit from behind, why was the bruise on the forehead?
Never mind the explanation. Hand that over.
Then she's the one who shot at us.
Certainly. She couldn't get in here to look for the book because Frank was guarding the place. First, she tried to put me off the track with that Mother Goose stuff. But she finally gave me the right clue. She figured if she told me the truth, I'd get the money and she'd tail me and pick it up.
That's enough out of you, Mr. Valentine. Give me the money.
Oh, certainly. Here you are, Miss Berry.
But, Mr. Valentine...
Now, don't try to stop her, Frank. It's dangerous.
You're right. It is dangerous. Stay just where you are. Don't anybody make a move.
But, Mr. Valentine...
Careful.
But you're letting her get away.
Not very far. The police are out there.
Let's go. Hey,
it's okay, Mr. Valentine. They got her.
Your money will be returned to you, Frank.
Thanks, Mr. Valentine. I owe you a lot.
That's right. But you'll get a bill in the morning. Come on, kids.
Good night, Mr. Valentine.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, I'm really going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, so am I.
Oh, too bad. Too bad it had to end this way.
Huh? What do you mean?
He's thinking about the nurse. Aren't you, Mr. Valentine?
You know, Claire, I believe she was a natural blonde after all.
Chevron gas stations all through the West invite you to be with us again next week for another chapter of Let George Do It, starring Robert Bailey as George with Francis Robinson as Claire and Eddie Firestone Jr. as Sonny, is written by Pauline Hopkins, produced and directed by Owen Vincent. Your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It.
From November of 1946, it's been Bob Bailey starring in Let George Do It, with the Harding Bookshop Mystery. In a moment, more adventure with Dick Powell starring as Richard Diamond, Detective, as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Richard Diamond, private detective, came to NBC in April of 1949, representing the new Dick Powell image. Powell had gone almost full circle, starting first as a glamour boy singer in the 1930s, and then graduating to the super hard-boiled Philip Marlowe in the film Murder, My Sweet, finally arriving as Richard Diamond. As Diamond, Powell even managed to sing once in a while. Movie producers had given Powell a hard time when he tried to break away from his babyface crooner image, and in Murder, My Sweet, he earned his stripes. So he relaxed with Richard Diamond and truly seemed to enjoy the part. Diamond was a happy-go-lucky detective, rather a lightweight who still managed to hold his own with Sam Spade, Johnny Dollar, and others of that ilk. William P. Rousseau directed the show when it began as a Sunday night sustainer. Blake Edwards was an early Diamond writer and directed some episodes himself. Rexall Drugs picked up the program in its first year, and Richard Diamond lasted until 1952. It was later revived on television with David Janssen playing the lead. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with Dick Powell starring in Richard Diamond, Detective, in the case of Lynn Knight Wants Protection from August of 1949. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Now, Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
This is Diamond. You know, I'm sure a lot of you people have never seen this big city of New York that I live in. But you ought to. It's really worth seeing. I don't mean a four-bit tour in a bus. I mean that one time that you stop along the way and really take a good look. Maybe it's from a building 40 floors up. You brace yourself against the stiff morning breeze and you lean out and watch the biggest city in the world wake up, stretch, roll up its progressive sleeves and go to work. Or maybe it's 6 o'clock in the evening and you're on your way home. You hold up at a busy intersection and you feel the colossus even before you see it. You look behind, to the right, the left, and then up. And there it is. You can only take in 3 blocks maybe, but the pushing crowds and towering buildings are a common denominator for the Bronx, Park Avenue, and Flatbush. The rest you have to imagine because your dinner's waiting. Well, I'm lucky in a way. My dinner's ready when I start throwing nickels in the automat. My meals and my time are freelance, and my work is a ringside ticket to the biggest city in the world. Sure, it's lonely sometimes, and trouble walks the streets on a 24-hour beat. But that's how I pay my rent. Trouble's my silent partner, and he sends me everything from divorce labels to some marked City Morgue, DOA, dead on arrival. One night last week, old man Trouble was sitting curled up on a doorstep watching two thugs hiding in the shadows of a building. Trouble had a big smile because he was cooking up a king-size mess for yours truly.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah?
Ain't he ever gonna come out?
He'll come out. We just gotta wait, that's all.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah, what is it?
I hope he comes out soon. That cop car is doing a little while.
Yeah.
Hey, supposing they drive up the street just when he comes out.
And we don't use the artillery.
We don't?
We follow him and get him someplace else.
Okay, okay. Hey, Lou.
What?
Here he comes.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, sure. Look, he's got his two big watchdogs with him.
Get set. Now.
We better get going.
Don't run, stupid. You think we was being clocked?
Hey, Lou.
There's that lousy cop car. Come on.
Look, where you going?
In this club. Come on, hurry.
Hey, Lou, supposing the cops come down here.
Shut up.
Table, gentlemen?
Yeah, for my friend and me.
Right this way.
Picture? Like a souvenir picture to take?
Lou, are you crazy? We can't sit down at no table. They'll have the whole neighborhood covered in a few minutes.
We can sit for a second and we'll go out the back door.
Here you are, gentlemen. Is this all right?
Just standing.
Yeah, this is just fine, thank you.
Very good, sir. I'll send a waiter right over.
Well, now, come on, Lou. Let's blow this joint.
Wait till he gets further away.
Please, Lou.
Okay. Now, you go first. Take your time, O'Malley.
Picture, sir?
Huh?
No, miss. We don't want no photographs.
Yeah, we don't want none.
Thanks, just the same.
Oh, that's okay. Picture? Like a souvenir picture to take home?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Well, come on.
Right behind you.
Now, hold it right there. No, don't move. Thank you. That will need a fella.
Hey, Mel, hold it a minute.
Yeah, what is it?
It's that dame.
This is no time to start looking at dames.
No, you fathead. The one with the camera.
So she's got good-looking legs, but we got... Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
There's a cop in the door.
Get going, but take your time. I'll tell you about the dame later.
Oh, Lynn.
Yeah? What is it, Monsieur Davis?
Where are you going?
Back to the dark room to develop these pictures. You always said not to keep the customers waiting, didn't you, Monsieur Davis?
I'm glad to see you listen to your employer.
I'll just come along to see how this batch turns out.
This batch isn't any different from the last 100 batches.
We'll just go along and see.
Oh, that does it.
I beg your pardon?
I said that does it. You cornered me in that dark room once, and it was all I could do to keep you away from me.
Lynn.
You think that just because you run this place, you got a right to make passes at me? You better get yourself a new girl.
Maybe that isn't such a bad idea.
Come to think of it, I kind of go for it myself. And as long as I'm quitting, here's something you've been asking for a long time.
Oh. Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Now get out of my way. That phony French accent may fool the customers, but it doesn't fool me.
You get out of here. Pick up your check and get out of here this minute. You little... Oh.
Now, what were you going to say, Mr. Davis?
Get out. Get out.
Diamond Detective Agency, if you've lost a body, let us dig it up.
Oh, Rick, that's awful.
Depends on who we dig up and how long he's been there.
Rick.
Hello, Helen, baby.
You're simply gruesome.
I know it, but my tongue matches my shirt.
What do you do when you wear stripes?
I tell everybody I've been licking barber poles.
Oh.
Thought you'd catch me, didn't you?
No, I don't think I'll ever catch
you. Oh, I think you're the prettiest little old gal in the whole dang breast of state.
Flattery will get you nowhere. And we got a date tonight?
Only if the elevator is still running.
Mr. Diamond?
Hmm? Oh, I'll call you back later, honey. I think I just sighted a client.
Mr. Diamond, please, I've got to talk to you.
Well, honey, go back and shut the door. If too much smoke gets out of here, the ceiling will cave in.
What? Oh, yes. All right.
Rick, did I hear a girl's voice?
I think so. But maybe she just wears those clothes because her mother never had a haircut.
What does she look like?
I can't tell you right now. I'm parked behind a curb.
Rick, the door is closed, Mr. Diamond. Now may I speak with you, please?
Helen, I'll call you later.
I don't care if she is a prospective client. You'll face the window when you're talking business.
Well, there's a cigarette ad out there. Why look out at an ad when the slogan's right here in my office?
Slogan?
Yeah, you know, so round, so firm, so...
Rick.
Bye, baby. Now, you were saying...
I want to hire you to protect me, Mr. Diamond.
I know an easier way. Wear a diving suit.
Mr. Diamond, put your eyes back in your head. And please listen to me. My life is in danger.
There's an answer for that, too, but go on, tell me the story.
Well, my name is Knight.
Miss?
Yes.
Yes.
In the last 2 days, there have been several attempts on my life.
By whom?
Well, I don't know.
Well, do you know why anyone would want to kill you?
No, I don't.
Well, now we're getting someplace.
Don't be funny, Mr. Diamond. I tell you that twice an attempt has been made on my life.
How?
Well, the first time a man followed me home and tried to break into my apartment. I screamed and frightened him off.
Maybe he was lonesome. What about the other time?
Well, I don't know whether it was the same man or not, but the next night a man jumped out of a car and tried to make me go with him. I kicked him and... ran down the block.
Sounds more like a kidnapping than attempted homicide. Why didn't you tell this to the police?
Oh, I did. They investigated, but I couldn't give them enough to go on, so they just put a man watching my apartment.
I bet he has to stand in line. Didn't they give you an escort?
No. They seemed to think I was after some kind of publicity or something. Mm. They told me it was all right to go out in the daytime, but to stay in my apartment for the next couple of nights.
Sounds reasonable.
Will you help me, Mr. Diamond? I'm afraid this will happen again.
My dear, my fee is $100 a day in expenses.
$100 a day? Oh, Mr. Diamond, I don't have that kind of money.
Well, neither do I, but if I starve, I do it with dignity. I can't lower my fee, Miss Knight. I never have.
Well, then, I just will have to find another detective agency.
There are a lot of good ones. I'm sorry, the rule might bend a little, but it won't break. If I took the job knowing you couldn't pay half the fee, 10 minutes later, some guy from Texas with an oil-soaked wallet might want to hire me to count his gas stations. Sorry, but it's a tough world, Miss Knight.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mr. Diamond. Maybe you could recommend someone?
Oh, any of them are good. Just close your eyes and open the classified.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Diamond. I'm sorry.
So am I. My conscience just slit its throat.
Like you said, Mr. Diamond, it's a tough world.
The toughest.
Goodbye.
Yeah. No, nuts. Yeah, what is it?
Diamond?
He's hiding his head in the desk. I'll get him for you. Come on out, you heel.
Look, I don't know who this is, but put Diamond on the pipe.
This is Diamond. Wait till I get the bad taste out of my mouth.
Look, you can wet your whistle later.
I've always wondered what happened to people who said that.
Is there a dame in your office named Knight?
Well, there was. She left just before you called.
Well, let me give you a little tip. If she hired you, you're going to start feeling overworked right now, so tell her you don't want the job.
Oh, I am, huh?
Yeah. Well, your nearest relative is going to have to come down and identify the body.
You know something?
No, what?
couple of minutes ago, I proved that a good businessman can start looking like a big fat heel for a lousy $100 a day in expenses.
Huh?
Don't work on it too long, but stop in sometime, Buster. I'd like to help you spit out your teeth.
Better listen to what I say, Shamus. You're way out of your class in this one.
I'm always out of my class when I talk with slobs. And if you don't like it, look me up. I'll be working for Miss Knight. I went out of my office in a hurry. When somebody tries to push me around, it's like giving a kid a slingshot in a hothouse. You can tell him all night not to do it, but by morning, he's busted every window in the place. I hoped I might catch Miss Knight before she got to the street, so I grabbed the elevator and went down to the first floor. I couldn't find her in the lobby, so I went out on the sidewalk. The street was crowded, but those curves showed up like a covered wagon on Madison Avenue. She was just starting across Broadway when a big black sedan pulled up and a guy climbed out after her. I took off as fast as my little 175 pounds would carry me and cut kitty corner across the street with an eye on the black sedan. The guy had her by the arm, and I knew when she stopped struggling, he showed her his gun. I was on a dead run, gonna make like a big hero, but his 38 changed my mind. He missed with the first one, and then he shoved the girl away from him and tried again. I could hear the slug whine past my head, so I hit the sidewalk right next to the girl. He jumped for the car. I just lay there and watched him drive off.
Did you get the license number?
Yeah, it was covered with mud.
Gee, I guess you must look pretty silly just sitting here.
Yeah, got some jacks? I'm a wizard of foursies.
Maybe you believe me now, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah. Here, let me give you a hand up.
Thanks.
Now, come on, let's get out of here. We're collecting a crowd.
Where are we going?
I know a policeman who can't understand attempted assault. He says it's not necessary. And believe me, baby, he's got a cure for it. Come on.
Diamond is hurrying with his pretty client to see Lieutenant Levinson, head of homicide.
I hailed a cab, and 10 minutes later, Len Knight and I were walking into the 5th Precinct Police Station. Sergeant Otis looked up and started to say something, but when he saw what I was with, he changed it to a low whistle. Oh, stop puckering, Otis. You look like you've been unstopping sinks.
Oh, very funny, wise guy. How about the introduction?
Miss Knight, Sergeant Otis. Homicide's answer to mercy killings.
Hello, Sergeant.
Yeah, don't pay no attention to him, Miss Knight. He was born with a nasty disposition.
Is the lieutenant in, Sergeant?
Yeah, go ahead. He'll see you. Nice meeting you, Miss Knight.
Nice meeting you, Sergeant.
Otis.
Yeah?
Stop clucking. You'll have every rooster in town in here. Hello, Walt.
Who's that with you?
This is Miss Knight.
Is she dead?
Walt, say something nice to the lieutenant, dear.
After that last remark?
Oh, look, Miss Knight, I'm sorry, but this guy you're with has a talent for finding homicides. I'm suspicious of everyone I see him with, because even if they walk into my office with him, he'd do it just to confuse me.
Well, I'm quite alive, Lieutenant.
Then let me give you a friendly tip, Miss Knight. Stay away from this guy. His sense of humor will turn your hair white.
Oh, isn't he a dream? Walt, Miss Knight wants protection.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Walt, now stop gnawing on the desk and listen to me. Miss Knight is in line for a murder or for kidnapping.
I knew it.
She wants protection, and you're going to give it to her.
That's not my department.
This is homicide, isn't it?
Of course it is. But you know very well we don't go to work until you're dead.
Well, honey, I guess you'll just have to rattle and get yourself killed. It's the only way.
Now you stop that. Send her to another department. They'll give her all the protection she needs.
She's been there. They stuck a guy out in front of her apartment. Now look, I just saw Hood try to muscle her into a car. He took a shot at me, and you know bullets give me that let-down feeling. Now, put one of your boys with her until I can do something about clearing this thing up.
What's your full name, Miss Knight?
Lynette. Lynn, for short.
Where do you live and where do you work?
I live at 419 West 48th Street, apartment 309. I quit my job 3 days ago.
Where was this job?
The Circus Club on 52nd Street. I took pictures.
Took pictures?
Yeah, you know. Souvenirs of the customers.
Oh. Why'd you quit?
Well, my boss got grabby. I slapped him around.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, honey. Did you say Circus Club, 52nd Street?
Yeah. What about it?
Walt, didn't somebody gun down Al Rigoletta and two of his boys right near there?
Say, you're right. 3 nights ago.
You didn't see that shooting, did you, Miss Knight?
Well, no, but I read about it the next day.
Well, if you didn't see it, they couldn't want to get at you just because you're a witness.
This is screwy. What have we got to work on?
You just put a man to guide her. I'm going to see what I can do.
All right, but only because I owe you a favor. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Get in here.
Otis?
Yes, Otis. He's not as stupid as he looks.
Want to bet?
He couldn't be and live.
You want me, Lieutenant?
Not for keeps. I want you to stay with Miss Knight here until I tell you to come home. Somebody's trying to get rough with her. Got it?
Yeah.
Walt, have you found any eggs around the office?
Eggs?
Otis, where do you hide your nest?
Oh, Lieutenant, make this guy lay off for me.
Yeah, Rick, lay off the poor guy. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Stop standing on one leg and wait outside, you mallet head.
Oh, yeah,
Lieutenant. Walt, I'll keep in touch.
Okay.
Mr. Diamond.
Yeah?
Thanks. I'll make it up to you some way.
Don't strain yourself. I like an obligation to be fun.
It will be.
Rick.
Yeah?
Bye.
I left the 5th Precinct and headed for the circus club. It was a small place with sawdust on the floor and colored decorations like the inside of a circus tent. The place was still closed, but a short, dapper little guy in a gray business suit answered my knock.
Yes, you're from the police.
Why? You need them?
I just put in a call. Someone burglarized the place last night.
Oh. You know a girl named Knight?
Lynn Knight?
That's it.
I most certainly do. I fired her 3 nights ago. If she's in some kind of trouble with the police, she deserves it.
You must run this place.
That's right. My name's Davis. Would you like to take a look at the room that was broken into?
I certainly would. What did they steal?
That's just it. I don't know. They turned it upside down, but I can't imagine what they were after. It's a dark room.
A dark room?
Yes. I have several girls that take pictures of the customers. They developed the prints in the back of the cafe. Right this way.
Forget it.
But I thought you wanted...
I'm not from the police, Mr. Davis. I'm a private detective. Tell me, did Miss Knight turn in all her film the night she quit?
I fired her.
Difference of opinion. Did she turn in all her film?
I know. As a matter of fact, she didn't. She left with her camera, and several customers got rather angry when the pictures weren't developed.
You mean her last roll was still in that camera?
It must have been. She didn't leave it in the dark room. I looked.
Where's the phone?
Right over there.
Walt, I think I've got something.
Diamond, I've got something, too. A sour stomach and headache.
What's the matter?
Otis followed that night dame halfway home, and some guy stepped out of an alley and split his head with a sap. He's down in emergency getting his skull crocheted.
What about the girl?
We don't know. Otis can't remember.
Oh, that's dandy. I'll call you back.
Now, you wait a minute.
I can't. Bye. I had one of those muscle-bound hunches. I had to work fast, or Lynn Knight was going to get herself kicked around and maybe end up in the city morgue. I remembered her address, and 15 minutes later, I was standing in front of room 309. I could hear the phone ringing from somewhere inside, so I waited to see if anyone answered it. On the third ring, I tried the door. Well, well, well. Hello?
Who is this?
This is Diamond.
Oh, thank goodness. This is Lynn Knight.
Well, where the devil are you? Lieutenant Levinson said you'd disappeared.
I'm in a bar on 50. That man who tried to shove me into his car this afternoon hit Sergeant Otis on the head, and I've been running ever since.
How did you know I was here?
Oh, I didn't. I called your office and got no answer, so I just took a chance maybe you'd gone looking for me.
I was, but I was looking for something else, too. Tell me, baby, have you got a camera?
Why, I did have.
Did have? What happened to it?
Well, I sort of sold it.
Oh, you mean you hocked it?
I didn't need it anymore, and I did need the money.
You stay right where you are, and I'll be down. What's the name of the place?
2320 Club. Please hurry, Mr. Diamond. I'm scared.
Okay. I want to ask you something else.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I thought you'd hung up.
No, I thought you... Lynn.
Yeah?
Is there an extension on this phone?
Why, yes, in the bedroom. Say, you don't think...
I don't know. Wait a minute. Hey, what are you guys... Oh!
Mr. Diamond? Diamond, are you still on the...
Okay, Mel. Let's go get the dame.
Hey, that was pretty smart waiting around and listening in on the extension. What do you want me to do with the shamus? He looks like he can still hear things.
Well, turn them off.
Sure. Okay. Okay, let's go.
What are you limping for?
I kicked him with the wrong foot. I got a lousy ingrown toenail.
I laid there trying to crawl back to a more sensible way of life. He'd kicked me so hard that it shook my eyes loose and they'd run back into my head to hide. Everything was suddenly crammed into a long funnel that disappeared into the floor, and I felt pretty sick. I was stuck in an acre of colored molasses, and trying to get myself loose was like pulling a pillow through a garden hose. When I finally made it, I stuck my head under a sink and let the cold water bring me back to normal. Then I headed for the 2320 Club in a hurry.
Something I could do for you?
I'm looking for a girl, but I don't see her.
They come and go. It's like that around here.
She had on a green skirt and a jersey blouse. Couldn't miss her unless you don't like girls.
Oh, her. She used the phone and then she left.
Alone?
No, a couple of ugly-looking guys came in and she left with them. Hey, you know her?
Yeah.
Well, she forgot her purse. You might tell her.
Her purse? Let me see it.
Oh, no.
Here's the badge, Buster.
Oh, okay.
He handed me the purse and I went through it. Nothing much but a pawn ticket. I looked at it and that hunch started biting my leg, so I took off for the pawn shop.
Good afternoon.
Here's a ticket. I want to claim the article.
Sure, sure. A11249. Here it is. Ah, lovely camera.
Bingo.
Did the girl sell it to you?
No, she just wants me to claim it for her.
Well, be careful. She said there was still some film in it. She wanted to come back and get it when she got a new job. $15, please.
Here you are. Is there a place around here where I can get the film developed?
Right across the street. You can see it from here.
Ah, thanks.
Here it comes. Yep, it's coming up, but we'll leave it in a little longer. Say, maybe I'm nosy, but what's so important about this roll of film?
I'll tell you better when I look at it.
Well, I'll turn on the light. There you are.
Yeah. Oh, nothing on this one. Nope. Hey, look at this.
With some old guy with his wife. Is that what you wanted to find?
You see those two guys in the background that look like they're just sneaking out of a chicken house?
Yeah, so what?
The one in the back is Lou Garzoni.
The gangster?
Yeah. Give me that negative. Let's get out of here.
Well, you two holding hands in there?
Hey, who are you and what's the gun for?
Take it easy, Doc. He shoots people.
That's right. Now, back into the room.
All right, but take it easy with that gun.
Give me that negative, Shamus.
Okay.
Now, where's the picture?
It's still in the juice.
Well, get it.
I'll get it.
That's better. Well, come on.
I can't seem to find it.
Oh, yeah?
Look for yourself.
I'll look.
See?
Say, you threw it in his face. That stuff might find him.
So now I can't see to kill you.
My eyes. Get me to the doctor, quick.
After you tell me where the girl is.
212 West 45th Street, apartment 513. Harry, I can't stand it.
Call a doctor for this guy and then get hold of Lieutenant Levinson, 5th Precinct. Tell him to meet me in front of 212 West 45th and to step on it.
Yes, all right.
I'll take those pictures.
I can't stand it.
Sure you can. It's no fun looking at the electric chair anyway.
Apartment 513, he said. Oh, here it is.
Yeah. If Lou Garzoni's in there, we got to take him by surprise or he'll knock off the girl.
Otis is down the alley, so he won't get out that way. Well, here goes. I hope it works.
Yeah, who is it?
Mel had an accident. He sent me up to tell you.
What's your name?
Tony Vega.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I thought you was in stir. Coppers! You dirty dog!
Ain't gonna... How about it, Walt?
He's on his way. Where's the girl?
Probably in the other room. Yeah. Take it easy, baby. All right. I'll get the gag on. Now, there you are.
Oh, Mr. Diamond. Mr. Diamond, he was going to kill me.
Yeah, I know.
Is she all right?
Sure, Walt. How about Garzoni?
No hurry for the wagon. Now, will you please tell me how you knew Lou Garzoni was in this apartment?
Well, he and his boy were after a picture Miss Knight took. Yeah. This one.
Ah, here they are in the background.
He was an old enemy of Al Rigoletto, wasn't he, Walt?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, I bet he was the one who rubbed him out. Then he and his boy ducked into the nightclub. Garzoni saw his picture taken, so they went after Lynn.
Why, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, what's the matter?
You finally called me Lynn.
Well, Lynn. you go home and take it easy. I might stop by tomorrow.
What's the matter with tonight?
I've got a piano lesson. Bye.
Otis!
Yeah, Lieutenant? Is it all over?
Yes, you hammerhead. Now get out of that garbage can and see if you can find your way back to the station.
Oh, Rick, stop it.
Okay.
Rick.
Hmm?
Tell me about the girl in your office.
Oh, nice kid, lovely eyes.
I'm jealous.
Good for you.
And I'm mad.
You're so busy.
You like the new piano?
Oh, yes, yes. It's a big one. Must have taken a herd of elephants to make the keyboard.
Sing something.
What does Rita Baby want?
I don't care.
Okay. Oh, I don't care. I don't care.
Rick.
Well, that's what you said. You said that. Yes, you did.
Something nice.
All right. Everywhere you go, sunshine follows you.
Oh, that's such a beautiful tune.
Really? Everywhere you go, skies are always blue.
Rick.
I'm going to finish it. Children love you, they seem to know. You bring the roses right out of the snow. The whole world says hello. Everywhere you go. You suppose the guy who wrote that song ever got shot at?
Oh, Rick, you idiot. Come here.
Oh. This is much more fun than piano lessons.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Joan Banks, Paul Dubov, Herbert Ellis, and Sidney Miller. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville.
From August of 1949, it's been Dick Powell starring as Richard Diamond, detective, in the case of Lynn Knight Wants Protection. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week, and why not invite a friend to listen and enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.